Good evening. The clock says it's just a little bit past 6, and so that means it's time to start. And just a few announcements here. Keep in mind, we have our free giveaway this coming Saturday on the 14th, and that opens up for all church members, everyone that's associated with Norwoodville Baptist Church. That opens up at 8 o'clock at the bus barn, and then 8:30 we'll open it up to the community. So if you have any interest in that, I encourage you to come. There's a wide variety of stuff, you know. But a lot of it can be very useful. And so keep that in mind. Next Sunday night, Andy will be here. Actually, he'll be coming for a class. I think he begins classes tomorrow. And then so he'll be here on Wednesday night prayer meeting, and then next Sunday, and then the next Wednesday night. And then he'll be heading back to Boston shortly thereafter. So Andy will be preaching next Sunday and presenting and telling us about what's been going on in Boston. So that'll be next Sunday night, August 15th. And then also we have Dan Knox's address at the very bottom of the bulletin, so keep those things in mind. Otherwise, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here once again this evening. We even thank you for the Salmons that were here with us this morning and for the blessing that they were. Pray that you'd bless them this evening as they are going to be at Bethany Baptist there in the southern part of Des Moines. Pray that you'd give them good evening and safety even as they travel back toward North Carolina eventually. I just thank you that they've been faithful to you for so many years. And I even do pray here at Norwoodville we'd be faithful to you and sharing with others what you have done in our lives and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And so even this evening as we look into your word, as we sing songs of praise, I pray that your name would be glorified. I pray that our focus would be upon you. So we do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand together and begin with 199. When I really want to sing 5:30, huh? I don't. All right, well, we can, we've only got 2 verses left, so why don't we get through it and we'll try it again sometime.
Thank you.
most of you aren't in school anymore, so this is really helpful because you get to learn something new. So you can have a seat and we'll go to 199. Arise, my soul, arise. Go on to 310. So send I you, 310.
Thank you.
longing. 307, just back a couple pages. Send the light. Pages of 297. I love to tell the story. Will be my theme in glory, to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. Even when the burden of sin and this life has been taken away and we are with the Lord in glory, apart from any pain or suffering or sorrow, our talk will truly still be the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it will only be still on his basis, the basis of his death, burial, and resurrection, that we have our residence in heaven. Isn't that incredible? And we'll still be looking back to that point in what humans call the year perhaps 27 or 30 when Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again from the dead on the third day. Isn't that incredible? Let's keep singing verse 2.
I love to tell the story.
549. Face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be?
See Jesus Christ face to face. What a day that will be. What a hope we have, a sure hope. It's not just some hope, a pie in the sky hope. No, this is a sure hope to see Jesus Christ our Savior face to face. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for that sure and confident hope that we have in you. Not only do we know that you died for us and that you were buried and that you rose again, we also know that you are coming again. And what a wonderful and glorious day that will be. Help us to live in light of that fact that you are coming again. Help us to use every day to its fullest, because we never know the day or the hour that you might return. So I do thank you. I do pray that you'd help us. Even as we look into your word, I pray that you'd use it in a great way. Encourage us and challenge us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it was a blessing to have Gary and Wilma with us this morning, wasn't it? Any time that we can have a missionary in, it's a blessing. But especially whenever we have a missionary that we've supported, and a missionary that we've supported down through the years. And I don't know how many years we've supported the Salmons, but it's been quite a long time. I was talking with Chuck and Karen, and they were saying basically whenever they were, you know, young guys and gals, you know, early on in the days of the church, you know, they were already supporting the Salmons. And I don't know, Dave, if you remember how long we've been supporting them, but it's been years. And so to have them come and to share with us how the Lord has been blessing in their life, and really the timeline, as far as you know, they were first serving the Lord in Chile, and then they were directed by the Lord to faith as a missions professor, and then pastoring in Hudson, Iowa, where eventually Adam Hunt would pastor. Okay, and then you have this timeline to see how the Lord guides and directs, and He's all knowing, all wise. And as He moves people, His select chosen individuals, from place to place, He knows what He's doing. And so what a blessing it was to hear from them, and then how the Lord is using them even right now in this special ministry, preparing and equipping Hispanic leaders, national leaders, so that they are able to go and teach others. What an essential ministry that is. Praise the Lord, He has called certain ones, like the Salmons, to go and preach the gospel far and wide, and how He uses them to save people. And then how He uses people like the Salmons to disciple that new babe in Christ, and to disciple that growing Christian. What a blessing to see that. And what a privilege it is for us as believers to be a part of God's redemptive plan. Not only has God saved us individually, and I hope if you're here this evening, you have been saved by God's grace. You have believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so, just because we're saved, we're a part of God's redemptive plan. But also beyond that, we're able to pray for people like the Salmons and support them financially so that they can do their work, wherever that may be. But even beyond that, God has called us as individuals to go and preach the gospel. And even though we may not be able to go to Chile or go to Mexico or go to South Africa or wherever the case may be, even if we are here in Des Moines and we have a home and a family and an 8-to-4 job or whatever, we have a great sphere of influence, don't we? As far as the lost people that we come in contact with, whether it be our workers or the people at the bank or the people at the store or our neighbors, whatever, we have a sphere of influence where we can share the gospel with these people that we come in contact with. We have our own mission field. We really do. There's a song that I used to sing when I was a younger tyke. I don't have to travel far to spread God's holy word. I don't have to sail to lands where the gospel's seldom heard. While I'm here at home, I'll pray and I'll live a life that's good. I'll win souls for Jesus in my own neighborhood. And you know, the kids sing that, but how true that is. Even for us as adults, we can have a huge impact here in Norwoodville, or here in Des Moines, or Ankeny, or wherever we live, or wherever we work. We can share God's goodness to lost souls around us. What a privilege that is, and what a responsibility. Now, as we look at the Scriptures, there are many passages that talk about you need to be supporting and praying for those that are called to a quote-unquote full-time ministry so that they can go and have an effective ministry. But also there are passages that say we as individual Christians, whether we are a missionary or a pastor or whatever we are called to do, whether it's full-time ministry or not, we are still called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are called to share the good news wherever and whoever we are. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4, because in this passage, not only does it encourage us to pray for those that are busily engaged in full-time ministry, as far as that is their life's calling to be a missionary, but not only that, we need this passage, Colossians chapter 4, speaking to the Colossians individually, you need to also be living a godly life and looking for opportunities where you too can share with those that ask you about why you are so different. Colossians chapter 4, in verses 2 through 6. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. And here Paul says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Now, we live in a busy world, don't we? A busy world. Sometimes we really would like it to slow down. And I mentioned that time and time again, but that's the truth. The pace of life has picked up a huge amount, it seems like, from the old days, what we call the old days. And so we're always busy doing something. And it may be good to stay busy, but then again, it may not be so good to stay busy. It all depends on what we are busy doing. Now, what do we stay busy with during our day? Any number of things, probably work and getting meals ready or taking care of the kids or the grandkids or going to the doctor or whatever. So, you know, there's all types of activities that we are busy with. Now, there are definite things that we want to stay away from as far as we don't want to be busy with fretting or worrying. We don't want to be busy doing that, although that's a temptation, isn't it? Okay, we have all these bills that we have to pay, or we have all these health issues. It can be easy to be busy worrying about all of our troubles. We don't want to stay busy that way. We don't want to stay busy by prying into other people's business. We don't want to be busy like that, or busy with gossip, or any number of sinful activities. No, we don't want to stay busy doing that. But there are certain things that we must stay busy doing. And Paul tells the Colossians here in verse 2 of chapter 4, we must be busy with prayer. Devote ourselves to it. Persist in prayer. And I've emphasized time and time again, we need to be praying day in and day out. Pray without ceasing. That's what Paul says in another passage. We need to be praying. And you don't... Any preacher, if he's preached any amount of time, he has to emphasize prayer. That is essential in the believer's life. Absolutely essential. Paul says we must persist in prayer. We must be busy in talking with God. But that's not all that Paul says. He also says that we must be alert as we pray. We must be watchful. It's not as if prayer is some passive activity that we're involved with. It's not that we just pray whenever we have free time. It's not something that we just do by rote memorization. You know, we have this special prayer that we pray all the time, whether it's before we go to bed or before our meals or whatever. That's not what it's all about. It's not something that is mentally easy. Okay? If we really engage ourselves in prayer, that can really be mentally exhausting. It can be spiritually really requiring a lot of spiritual effort. We don't want to just half-heartedly be praying to God. We want to pour ourselves into this. It takes work. It takes effort. It is demanding. It requires us to truly think through things. We must be alert in our prayers. Now think of someone now who is an observer at an observation point, whether it would be a soldier at a lookout point. That lookout has to be active, right? He has to be alert. He can't just doze off or just be half in and half out. He has to be on the watch for the enemy. That's important. Or think about the forest rangers that are on the lookout point looking for smoke in case there's a forest fire. Or think about the person in the lighthouse looking for ships or whatever. Those people that are watchmen, they have to be busy doing their watching. They have to put all of their effort into it. Because if something happens, they have to tell the right person. They have to always be on the lookout. Otherwise, bad things could happen. We need to be busy and alert in our prayer lives. We need to be putting our effort into this. But that's not all that Paul says about prayer. What does he say? He says that we must be alert in our prayer lives with thanksgiving. God hasn't called us to be pessimists, has he? He really hasn't called us to be people that murmur and complain and say, oh, this is what happened to me today, and oh, I'm in such a terrible state today. No, God has called us to give thanks in everything. Okay? No exceptions. Be thankful in everything. Be thankful in every situation. Now, granted, some things aren't good. Okay? But God can use everything for good in His ultimate purpose. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So how can we be thankful at all times? Well, if you're a born-again believer, it's easy. Because think of all the things God has done in our life. If we are a born-again believer, I am destined for heaven, an eternity with Jesus Christ. My sins have been forgiven. Jesus Christ has given me victory over sin. We have so much to be thankful for. He has given to us the Holy Spirit who indwells us. And so if you're a lost person, there's no possible way you can be thankful in everything. But as a believer, everything that we encounter, every situation, every circumstance, we can be thankful because we are a believer, a child of God. So Jesus Christ has called us to a life of thanksgiving, a prayer life of thanksgiving. We don't want to pray out of compulsion or with an attitude, oh, this is what I have to do, or with a complaining or rebellious attitude. No, we must pray with an attitude of thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks. And so Paul has encouraged and challenged the Colossians here. Be busy in prayer. Keep alert with thanksgiving. So that's a very general exhortation, right? A very general exhortation. But now he gets down to specifics. What does he say in verses 3 and 4? Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So as the Colossians were laboring fervently in their prayers, Paul wanted them to be praying specifically for himself and for his co-workers. There is nothing wrong, there is nothing shameful with asking for prayer from others for yourself. Okay, that is absolutely essential. As we desire to do God's work, we need the prayers of others. And you know, that's so encouraging to me whenever I have people tell me, you know, Pastor, I am praying for you. That means so much. It's a world of difference. I think in the nursing home, there's one lady especially. Her name is Harriet. And she is a blessed lady. And she says, thank you for praying for me. And she says that every single time. That means a lot. And I make a point. I have it written on my prayer prompter. I have Harriet's name down there. Because I know Harriet is counting on me to be praying for her. And you may think, well, you're in the nursing home. You don't have all that much to deal with. But those people in the nursing home, they have a lot to deal with. You know, there's so many things. You know, she told me, you know, she lost her dentures. Okay, that's a hard thing for her. She just got this new set of dentures, and then somehow they disappeared. And you know, I pray that Harriet finds her dentures, or that someone finds her dentures for her, because that's a big deal. It's so important that we pray for one another. It's so important that you pray for those that are engaged in the ministry. We pray for the Salmons. We pray for the Pieces. We pray for Phil Peterson, for the Himes. The Silcotts, and for they used to be at Sioux City, the Hoffs, okay? So we pray for our missionaries that we support that we're sending out. If we aren't praying for them, we're doing them a great disservice. We must pray for them because that's really how they're going to have a fruitful ministry. God desires us to pray for them so that God can shower blessings upon them as they go forth and preach the word. And no doubt they want us to pray for them. And as visiting missionaries come in, not only are they wanting to raise financial support, they're wanting to gain prayer support. And that's so important. I think of Bob Burkhart, prayer meeting time. He has these prayer cards, okay, of the missionaries that have come through. And oftentimes he distributes those right before prayer time. These missionaries have come through, we need to pray for them. How important that is. And many of you, I'm sure, have a board where you have all these prayer cards and you keep those missionaries in prayer. It's absolutely essential that we do what Paul encouraged the Colossians here. What did he encourage? Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. Paul gave a very specific prayer request here, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ. Paul had a desire to preach the gospel. God had called him to preach the gospel. But yet Paul couldn't preach just to anyone, anywhere. There were specific places Paul was meant to go. And that is made very clear as we see even in the book of Acts. What happens to Paul? Paul was wanting to go here first and then here. Now, all these different places, but eventually God made it clear to him, you need to go to Macedonia. That was an open door. He saw the vision, remember that? The man of Macedonia and said, come over and help us. We need to hear the gospel. And so there were any number of places that Paul could have gone to, but yet Paul could only go to one place because that was the open door. Paul can't just preach to anyone, anywhere. There are specific people in specific places that God has appointed him, had appointed him to go preach to. It's the same for us today. It's the same for the missionaries that we support. God has specific people that he wants them to preach to. And Paul was asking the Colossians, pray for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ. Paul wanted to preach the word, but it had to be the right people in the right place at the right time. Paul realized, whenever God opens that door, and he goes through it, it's not always going to be a bed of roses. It's not always going to be an easy time of it. Yeah, it's going to be a joyful time, because he's going to be right dead center in the will of God. But whenever Paul goes through that open door for the word, there's going to be people that don't like it. And Paul found himself, even at this time, when he was writing the letter to the Colossians, he was in prison because he had gone through that open door. And so whenever we pray for our missionaries, that God would open for them a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, it shouldn't surprise us whenever they encounter persecution. Okay? Because that is part and parcel of proclaiming the word of God faithfully. We must pray. Not always that the missionaries would be safe, because that may not always be God's will as they go forth and preach the word. Sometimes missionaries die for the faith. And praise the Lord, they glorify him in a great way as they give their life for Jesus Christ. We must pray for them that God would open for them a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ. Paul had a desire, not just to speak to anyone anywhere. He had a desire to speak to specific individuals, to make it plain as day to them what the gospel meant. He says in verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. God has a desire for us to speak clearly, and God will give us the words to say. And that was Paul's desire. He wanted God to work through him, to guide his tongue, so that he would say clearly what God wanted him to say. He desired that so very much. And he asked the Colossians to pray in that way. Now, do you think that Paul's request to the Colossians only applied to him in his day? And obviously, I don't think so. God desires us as a church to be praying for our missionaries in the same way. Be praying for them that they would have an open door for the word, that they would be able to clearly reveal the mystery of the gospel. Are we praying like that for our missionaries? Are we praying like that for the Salmons and for the others that I mentioned? We must not neglect that duty. How is God going to bless if we don't pray? How is he going to bless by answering our prayers if we don't pray? We must pray in order for there to be answered prayer. We must pray in order that our missionaries have fruitful and successful ministries. That's how God works things together. God can do anything he desires, but he chose to have us pray so that he can answer those prayers in a great way. But notice, as we continue on in Colossians 4, Paul doesn't end there. What does he say in verse 5? He doesn't just deal with himself and his co-workers. Look at verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Not only should we have our hearts directed upwards toward God, okay, praying specifically for those he has called to a full-time ministry, people like Paul, people like the Salmons, he has called us as individuals, as born-again believers, to live in a certain way. He says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. We must live our lives wisely as we interact with those around us, those who are lost, those who do not know Jesus Christ. As believers, we aren't called to a life of isolation. Okay, it's so easy, oftentimes, to just kind of seclude ourselves, just to have a circle of Christian friends. And truly, Christians can only be, those are the only ones that can be our true friends, but yet we have to interact with others. Paul says, you need to be separate from the wickedness that is the world, but yet we can't separate ourselves from the world. We must interact with those who are sinners, whether they be adulterers, fornicators, liars and cheats. We have to interact with them, because otherwise how are they going to hear the gospel? We must walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Just like Paul asked the Colossians to pray, that God would open a door, really, so that they could speak the word, the Colossians themselves were to take advantage of any door that the Lord would open for them to talk with those who are lost. They're to be looking for those open doors so that they could share the mystery of Christ, just as Paul had opportunities to share the mystery of Christ. And so we must cultivate relationships with those who are lost, whether it be our neighbors or our co-workers, you know, whatever. We need to have a concern and a burden for those who are lost. People are going to notice, if they know us for any amount of time, they're going to notice that we are different. Just like Gary said this morning, if you're going to give your testimony, you need to be walking the walk. Okay, if you're not walking the walk, it's sometimes better if you keep your mouth closed. Because if you give your testimony and say, hey, this is what God has done for me, I'm a born-again believer, and then you're just living like the world, is the world going to want to be like you? They're going to say, you're just a hypocrite. Okay, we want to have a life that is blameless. We want to be like the stars in the dark night sky. A light that is shining in the midst of the sinful world. And then when we live a life like that, people are going to be wondering, what is different with you? Why aren't you like I am? Why aren't you like the rest of us? And they're going to ask us questions. It's inevitable. And we're going to have great opportunities to share with them what Jesus Christ has done in our life and what He can do in their lives too. And so when they ask us those questions, how should we respond? We look at verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. We have been saved by grace, haven't we? The moment we trust in Jesus Christ, it is by grace that we have been saved. We don't deserve that righteousness that has been imputed to us. We don't deserve it in the least. But the moment we trust in Jesus Christ, that righteousness has been credited to our accounts. We have been saved by grace. And as we are saved by grace, then we are called to be living in that same grace. God not only saved us at a point in time, but He is saving us continually. Sanctification. God enables us to turn away from sin and turn toward God. We serve a gracious God, don't we? He is so gracious to us. We don't deserve all the things He gives to us. But as we receive God's grace, we must be willing to impart that grace. It's not as if God is a gracious God, and then we as His children are just mean and cruel and just giving everyone what they deserve. That shouldn't be the way it is. And so as we interact with the world, as we interact with lost sinners, people who are living miserable lives, despicable lives, sin-filled lives, we don't want to just put a blunt in an untactful manner and say, you're a lost sinner and you're bound for hell without any love at all. We don't want to approach them with that type of an attitude. Paul says, let your speech always be with grace. We've been saved by grace. We should be speaking with others, the lost, with that same gracious attitude. It says, seasoned with salt. How many of you like to put salt on your food? Okay, do you like to get the salt shaker and put a little salt in your food? Why do you put salt on your food? Because it tastes better, right? It's a little bit more palatable. It adds a little bit of zest to what you're eating. It's not quite so bland. Okay, so whenever we speak with grace, seasoned with salt, okay, our words, if they're seasoned with salt, they're more palatable, right? They're more acceptable to those who hear. So whenever we speak with grace seasoned with salt, okay, we give them the Word of God, okay? This is true, okay? But we give it to them in such a way that our presentation doesn't give them anything that would offend them, okay? If they are offended by what we say, we don't want it to be because of how we say it. We want it to be because if they are offended, they are offended because this is the gospel and naturally it is offensive. But we don't want our demeanor, we don't want our way of communicating to offend them. We want to be speaking in a way that truly could be, say, seasoned with salt. So when we talk with people, with the lost, we don't want to be abrasive, we don't want to be harsh, okay? That God hasn't called us. Now, there may be times where there is time for admonishment and harshness, but by and large, as we interact with people, as we share the gospel with them, we want to be gracious, we want to be telling them, God has saved me in such a great way, and God desires that you also be saved. We need to be very gracious, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So as we walk in wisdom toward those who are lost, as we take advantage of those opportunities day by day, hour by hour, as we talk with them, we can pray to the Lord, save these sinners. Okay, use your word. Convict them of their sin. Let them know that Jesus Christ is the only answer to their problems. So our testimony, just like Gary mentioned this morning, okay, and what a great way that is to share with others, the lost, our testimonies, okay? But yet our testimonies should be done in a gracious manner. It shouldn't be an unloving condemnation, by any means. We must speak the truth in love. And so as we think of these things, Colossians chapter 4, truly what a challenge it is to us, what an encouragement it is. We are challenged in the morning in a great way. I hope this is a challenge and an encouragement even this evening. Pray for those who are engaged busily in the ministry of the gospel. Just like the Colossians were to pray for Paul. We need to be praying for the Salmons and for any number of other missionaries and preachers. Those who are engaged in full-time ministry. But also, we need to be looking at our own lives, because it's not just the missionaries and the pastors that are to evangelize the whole world. Each one of us are called to walk in wisdom toward those who are lost. And they're going to ask us questions, and we're going to have an opportunity to graciously share with them what God has done in our lives, what He wants to do in their lives. Are we using our mouths to the glory of God? Oh, that we would have a heart for the lost this evening. Oh, that we'd pour our lives into praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Not only for those who are in full-time ministry, but we must be praying for one another. We must even be praying for ourselves that God would use us for His glory. Oh, that we'd be living lives of godliness, blameless lives, so that we might be able to share with our mouths what God has done for us. Lord, may we be faithful to You as we support the proclamation of Your marvelous wisdom to lost men and women, both here in Ordville and throughout the world. Heavenly Father, I do pray that You would help us. Help us to be men and women of prayer. Help us to be busily engaged in praying, to be alert in it, to always have an attitude of thanksgiving. Help us to be praying for those who have been called by You to a full-time ministry of spreading Your word. But also help us to be bright, shining lights in this world. Help us to walk in wisdom toward those who are lost. Help us to know how to answer each one in a gracious manner, in a way that is seasoned with salt. So I do pray that You'd help us with these things. Give us wisdom. Guide us. I pray that all these things would glorify Your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand together as we close and sing that old invitational song, 342. Just as I am.
Time you come to church that you're challenged. We don't come to church just for a good time. Okay, we need to be challenged together. We need to be encouraged also. That's what the church is about, to build up one another, to be built up to be more like the image of Jesus Christ. And you know what? Sometimes it kind of hurts to grow, doesn't it? And sometimes there are changes that need to be made in our own lives. Okay, we need to be constantly becoming more holy as Jesus Christ is holy. So I hope that you're encouraged this evening, because God has given us the power to live a triumphant life. He has given us the Holy Spirit by which we are able to go out, not only in Des Moines, but worldwide, to spread the gospel. Are we willing to surrender our lives to Him? Do we have that desire to live wholeheartedly for Him, just as I am?
Let's sing that very last verse.
Just as I am, thou wilt be.
close us in prayer this evening?
Dear Father, we do thank you, Father, for the salvation that we have through Christ, and Father, for the opportunity to share our own personal testimonies with those that are around us. Father, we just pray that we too might remember our missionaries and continue to hold them up in prayer, as well as our pastor, and Father, for other believers in that are of like faith. Father, we just pray that we might be faithful in praying for them, that they might have fruitful lives and service for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Sure. She says I still have a lot. I get really short. Oh, yeah. Your friends. You know, like even after you eat a meal in France and you have your dessert, when you're done, there's a glass of wine and cheese to eat afterwards. And that is a special one. To eat the wine and drink the wine and eat a piece of cheese.
Even in Mexico, like in fancy, expensive restaurants, after the meal, then you get a small shot of wine. It's like really low alcohol level, and then with some type of creamer on top of it. I was probably like 7 or 8. And they put one on my face, and then my students didn't want the rest, and my mom was sitting there. So, all right, I guess.
But I can't even get the zucchini to grow like that this year.
Yeah.
interrupt the roots?
No, it just don't, you know, it
when
just don't grow that fast.
I didn't even start it.
Oh, really? You should have said something if you wanted a zucchini. Hmm? They were about probably this long, so maybe around.
Oh, wow.
I'll have to get you after the fair if they're still growing.
That's fine. Yes.
Because I won't be here until after the fair.
That's fine. I've been waiting for the spaghetti squash to turn golden, quite nice and pale.
See, I've never grown spaghetti before.
My first time. I grew it from...
We've got cantaloupe out here growing, and I don't know when to pick yet.
Do you think it's turning yellow or orange?
Well, it started to get one is about like this, and it started to get that skin on it.
No,
that you know.
Maybe a watermelon nasty.
So cantaloupe like muskmelon?
Yeah, muskmelon.
Yeah, I got that one too.
There's cantaloupe and then there's muskmelon. They're two different types, but you know, they taste about the same, but they have a little different.
I'm not sure if I know. Taste. They look much different.
Yes.
Muskmelon
gets pretty good size.
With some like lines like that.
Yeah.
And then upside. And then with a kind of looks like that, like a
baseball or ball.
Or like a ball, you know, playing ball maybe.
About like that, and they just look like that.
Yeah, a green thing, and then lights starting to get a little formation.
I don't think the watermelon is growing. I don't know whether it's got any. Cat plant of those in a separate spot.
I put some sugar in the freezer downstairs and a little with some of my leftover ice cream and stuff. I think if we all get together, and some cookies. So if anybody wants to have a
thing, you want to go downstairs and have a
drink? I'm not too hungry for much else besides desserts.
Yeah, the ice cream sounds fine.
That's
fine. Coffee charge. make a drop in the art. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I can't afford it.
I shall be down there in a little while.